Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, Episode 16.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to visit my personal website at www.voicebard.com. In this episode, we have coffee with my dear friend, Mark Scott. Mark is the original everyday VOpreneur, with hats ranging from voiceover artist, marketing expert, coach, as well as husband and father. He is also author of some phenomenal business building tools, to which many have actually been some of the tools I've personally kept in my own voiceover marketing arsenal. In this episode, we talk about getting better as a marketer and entrepreneur, finding the fine line between hard-selling voiceover and building relationships with clients, the fundamentals of the voiceover business, and what makes a good voiceover student. So, how do you take your coffee?
In the shape of a Dr. Pepper. That is literally it. So the coffee thing, 1995, I'm a high school co-op student at my first radio station. Back in the day, it was 1470 CHOW, which is actually how it looks, CHOW radio, country radio station in Welland. And I was I had my co-op with the morning show. And so I would leave my house at like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to get to the co-op because it was an hour drive from where I lived. And I remember one of the very first things that the program director ever said to me when I walked in the building was, "You will not survive for 5 minutes in this industry if you don't start drinking coffee." And it just kind of became like a personal mission to prove him wrong for no other reason other than I thought it smelled bad. And I was like, "Nah, I can do this without coffee." And I guess it kind of stuck, although I do still think it smells bad.
Gotcha. So how did you transition from being a manager of a media marketing firm at CMC into the voiceover industry?
When things came to an end at CMC, I actually took another radio job, and I was a program director and a morning guy for a few years. I did that in Peterborough. Some personal issues resulted in me having to leave that job behind. Came home, was unemployed for a while, worked for a patient transfer company for a while, and then got back into radio, did a few more years in radio, a couple of different stints in radio. But then when the last radio job came to an end, which would have been 2011, when the last radio job came to an end, I was so just done with radio. It was the only thing I had ever really wanted to do from the time I was a kid. I knew I was going to be in radio, but the industry had changed so much. It wasn't fun anymore. It was run by consultants who I felt like had no clue about anything about how to make good radio. Most of us were like liner card readers. You know, we sat there and we had to read exactly what the copywriters had written out for us to read. It just wasn't fun, and I was done with it. And so I knew that I was going to have to come up with another plan. I knew I was going to have to be employed in some capacity. And as I was being escorted out of the building, I'd just been laid off. I remember thinking to myself, from now on, the only idiot I answer to is me, which isn't necessarily the most inspiring or motivating thought probably, but in the moment, that was how I felt. I was so sick and tired of working for different people who in broadcast in particular, who I thought were idiots, and they had complete control of my life and my future and my potential and it felt like my destiny. And so there was that awakening moment where it was like, from now on, the only idiot I answer to is me. And I didn't know specifically what that was going to look like at the time. I'd been doing voiceover, obviously, for a few years. It was just kind of like supplemental income to a really crappy radio salary. So it wasn't like I got laid off and the next day I decided I was going to be a full-time voice actor. There were several months of moping around in my underwear, feeling sorry for myself and living the life of an unemployed bum. And then I kind of had that light bulb moment of, look, I've been doing this voiceover thing. I enjoy this voiceover thing. I'm making some money at this voiceover thing. And if I can make this work, then I don't have to go back to having a boss ever again. And that sounds pretty good to me. Voiceover didn't come to me right away. I did it as a supplemental income to radio. And anybody that's been in radio understands that. But after that job came to an end, I had a bunch of other offers for radio. A bunch of people in my network reached out to me, tried to get me to come back, tried to get me to come to their station, you know, better offers, better hours, better money, blah, blah, blah. But I knew it was all going to end the same way. I think anybody in radio ultimately knows that one day you're just going to get downsized. It's just going to happen. And I didn't want to go through that again. So the transition into voiceover was not instant, but it was a product of recognizing that there was this thing that I could do that I could make money at. And that my earning potential was not going to be dictated by a corporate suit. It was going to be dictated by me and how hard I was willing to work and how much I was willing to dive in. And I liked the idea. For me, the whole underlying mission of my voiceover business, like that mission statement or whatever, it's freedom and flexibility. That's what voiceover gives me. It gives me freedom and flexibility. At that point, it meant that I never had to work another weekend shift again if I didn't want to. You know, my boss was not going to come in on Friday afternoon and be like, oh, by the way, you're doing the morning show tomorrow. I was never going to have to do that again. So it was a combination of my inner entrepreneur, never wanting to have to answer to another boss ever again. And then knowing that this was going to be a way that I could actually make some decent money in my life, which up until that point, as a, you know, broadcast guy for 20 years, I didn't really know what decent money was.
Right. So when you started marketing for VO, how do you kind of, because I know you're wonderful, wonderful at teaching marketing, and I've gained a lot of insight from you. How do you find that fine line between hard sell, get to as many people as you can, and relationship building, because you as an individual don't want to be sold to?
It's all a numbers game. You have to get in front of as many people as humanly possible. And I think anybody that's done really well in this industry would tell you that. You have to get in front of as many people as humanly possible. There are just ways to do it without coming across like a used car salesman. That's the trick, right? That's the balance that you have to find, is you need to get in front of a lot of people on any given day, but you need to do it in a way that you don't come across as that salesy, you know, sleazy kind of person. And you do have to be genuine in your desire to actually form relationships with these people. My clients have become my friends. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I enjoy being on that level. And I mean, not to say that any one of my clients would just, you know, come spend a weekend at my house, not like that kind of friend, but we know things about each other. We celebrate life with each other. We celebrate business successes with each other. Like I enjoy that aspect of it. And that is something that I didn't always know how to do. That's something that I've gotten better at over the years. And that's one of the reasons why I teach it now, is because it's like, look, 10 years ago when I was doing this, I was doing everything wrong. And if you would like to avoid that part of your career, I can help you do that.
So what are some of the fundamentals of what you do teach as a voiceover coach?
Partly what you just said, that, you know, marketing is, it first, it's a numbers game, and second, it's about building relationships. And so it's just teaching voice actors how to get in front of people without coming across the wrong way, but also helping voice actors get out of their own way, because instinctively, and I'm not really sure where this comes from, but instinctively, every voice actor that I coach with is afraid to put themselves out there because they believe they're going to be perceived as that salesy used car salesman. I'm just going to annoy people. You know, that's the narrative. And so a big part of what I'm doing, and I talk with my wife about this all the time. I'm like, I need to go back to school for psychology, because I feel like if I do 8 coaching sessions in a day, 6 of them feel more like therapy, because it's just helping voice actors get out of their own way and get over some of the narratives that aren't really based in any kind of reality. But when you repeat it over and over to yourself enough, it feels like it's real and it can become paralyzing. And so that's the challenge for a lot of them. And that's why they don't want to reach out, because they're convinced that they don't know how to do it the right way. And so they're better off just not doing it at all.
Gotcha. So with you being a coach and being a voiceover artist and spending so much time on that, what made you want to spend even more time to build this phenomenal marketing playbook that's coming out?
For me, I think a big part of it was recognizing how this industry changed my life. If I was going to stay in radio, I was going to be a, you know, $35,000, $40,000 a year guy for the rest of my life. And $35,000 or $40,000 a year in Southern Ontario can barely even get you a crappy one bedroom apartment anymore. Like, that's just the nature of the where I live. And so recognizing that I had the ability to just exponentially increase my income through my willingness to work hard, and I work hard, that was life-changing for me. And ultimately that was life-changing for my family. And if I can help other people to find that and figure that out, I'm all about that. I'm not one of these people that is worried that I'm giving away all of my trade secrets, that I'm creating a whole new, you know, level of competition for myself. I don't think that way. I think there's plenty of opportunities out there for us. I think that, you know, voiceover is not like, you're not like a mechanic. Like, there's only one way to do an oil change, right? And so if there's 100 people in the same town doing oil changes, yeah, it's going to be tough. But put 100 voice actors in a room and every one of them is unique. Every one of them brings something different to the table. You know, every one of them is going to be right for a different job. And so I've never really viewed it in that regard. So for me, it's just about, look, I can help you build something that can be powerful. I can help you build something that can be life-changing if you're willing to put in the time and do the work.
Absolutely. So with all of those gears running, what do you do outside of the booth to kind of recharge your batteries? What do you do to kind of as your step away so that you don't get burnt out?
I think one of the biggest things that I have missed in this last pandemic year has been the ability to travel. And I love going to voiceover conferences. And when I would go to conferences, lots of times I would book 2 or 3 extra days on either end of the conference, and I would bring my wife with me. And so the first couple of days we'd go out, we'd be tourists, you know, it was like mini vacation or whatever. Then I would do the conference. And then a couple of days after the conference, same thing. Either we just relax in a hotel or we go out and be tourists or whatever, and treat it like a vacation. And so it becomes a little bit of an escape. And I was flying, like, I don't know, I think in 2019, I spent 3 or 3.5 months in hotels over the course of the year for the amount of travel that I did. And now to have not even been on an airplane since like November of 2019, that's been a struggle. And so I've actually had to try, I'm still trying to figure out new ways to just kind of relax, because, and I said this to my wife the other day, we were supposed to go visit her family here in a couple of weeks, and now we're back in another lockdown in Ontario. And so we had to cancel that trip. And I'm like, okay, so I've already got the week booked off of my schedule. Do I just keep the week off and just sit at home and do nothing? And can I do that? Or do I, you know, open my schedule back up again and let everybody book coaching sessions so that it's not just kind of a wasted week? And these are the actual, this is, you know, that sounds like a stupid thing, but that's the struggle for me. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to be home anyway, I might as well be productive or whatever. But then it doesn't give me the ability to have that recharge. So when I'm not traveling, I think probably I like to tinker around in the wood shop. I've got a wood shop and some tools, and I'm not like a furniture maker or anything like that, but I just like to play around out there. But then I turned that into a business 2 years ago as well. So I kind of can't help myself.
Right. Between all that travel and Uncle Roy's barbecues.
Oh, I can't wait for hopefully. Well, I don't know. We were hoping for Brisket 2021. We'll see whether or not, because Brisket 2020 didn't get to happen. So,
right. So what have been some of the resources that that you have kind of held on to along the way that have kind of taken you as far as you have? What have been some of your strongest tools and strongest resources?
Man, that's a good one. Honestly, I think, and this is going to probably sound like a non-answer, mm-hmm. but I think a big part of it has been learning to control my narratives, which is something that I wasn't always really good at. And recognizing, you know, it was 10 years ago, if you told me how much the power of thought could have an impact on your life and on your business and on the way that you do things, I would have passed it off as some sort of new age voodoo and, you know, thought that you were like a hippie and just cast it aside or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the more that I started reading about it, the more that I started researching it, and the more that I started implementing it in my own life, the more that I recognized, holy cow, there is actually something to this. And when you are self-employed in particular, I think you got to be really careful about the way that you think about things. And you've got to be really careful about your narratives. And you've got to be really careful about the words that you speak that sometimes just slip out unconsciously, or that you think don't really mean anything, but they actually do. And learning how to get control of that, which is still a work in progress for me, but learning how to get control of that has probably been the single biggest factor in my ability to succeed in both coaching and in voiceover, because it goes back to something I said earlier. You know, sometimes we just got to get out of our own way, right? That's sometimes the biggest problem. And those narratives are what get in the way. And then the other thing is I love to read. And I am a guy that barely graduated from high school. You know, my grade eight guidance counselor said, what do you want to do when you graduate? And I said, I want to be in radio. So the guidance counselor flips open his little college application book and he goes through and he's like, okay, well, in order to get accepted to college for radio broadcasting, you have to score at least 80% in grade 12 English, and you got to score at least 80% in grade 12 communications. So I took that to mean, as long as I do well in English and communications, nothing else that I do in high school matters. And so I scored mid to high 90s in every English class, mid to high 90s in every communications class, and then just kind of didn't show up for the rest of my education. And so, you know, I say that to say I'm not like the smartest guy in the room, or I certainly wasn't. I did not go to college. I have since taken some college courses, like done some online college learning and stuff like that, but I did not actually go to college. Everything that I know, for the most part, it's all come from just being willing to sit down and read a book, but a book that actually is going to teach me something, right? I don't do fiction. I read nonfiction books that are going to teach me something, nonfiction books that are going to help me get better as a marketer, or better as an entrepreneur, or better in sales, or better with SEO, or better as a podcaster, whatever it is. I find books on those subjects and I read those books and I pay attention to everything that I learn in those books and I find ways to implement. That's a resource that I would not be here today without. So, I mean, I guess that means that Amazon is one of the most important resources in my business because they're the ones that deliver all the books.
So going into talking about what makes a good coach, what do you believe makes a good voiceover student?
You've got to be willing to learn. And sometimes that means being willing to admit that you don't know anything. Sometimes that means being willing to look like a fool. Sometimes that means being willing to feel a little bit embarrassed, and not because somebody is picking on you or trying to embarrass you, but just because if you don't know what you don't know, then there's going to be awkward moments while you're trying to figure it out. And I think a good student has to be willing to accept those moments, and a good coach is going to help you work through those things. But I get frustrated when people come to me and they want help, but it's almost like there's a pride, like they don't want to admit that they don't know things. And so when I'm genuinely trying to help them, and they're constantly pushing back that, but I know this, or but I did this, or but this, or, and I'm like, just stop. I'm not saying you don't know what you're doing. I'm saying, if you want some help, try it this way. Right. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think that goes for any kind of coaching. I mean, when I e-learning is one of the genres that I book a ton in, but when I was getting ready to do a new e-learning demo in 2019, and I called Ann Ganguza and I'm like, Ann, I want to do this demo and I'd like to do some coaching with you, even though this is a genre I book a lot in. I ended up doing like a dozen sessions with Ann. And there were times when I felt like a complete fraud. And I told her that. I'm like, I don't understand how I could be making this much money in this genre and yet be this bad. And it's not that she ever told me I was bad, but it was just that there was so much that I didn't know. And there were new trends and there were new ways of doing things and things that mattered more now that didn't matter before. And so it was all about making me better. And if I had gone in there thinking like, yeah, I'm Mark Scott, I'm a six-figure voice actor, this is just a formality while I get ready for a new demo, I would have missed out on everything that ultimately ended up coming from that experience. So I think that's the biggest part of it, is just a willingness to, again, get out of your own way, admit that you don't know what you don't know, be okay with it, and then learn.
So if you were to write a letter to yourself back during from now and send it back to Mark during his broadcast days, what would that letter say?
Don't be such a chicken and get out of this business. I'm not kidding. Look, I fully admit, and it's funny now because I talk to voice actors all the time and ones that have day jobs and they're trying to transition and all that sort of stuff. And it's really easy for me to say now looking back, but I am fully transparent about the fact that I did not have the balls to do it. If I did not get laid off from my last radio job, I would still be a miserable radio guy. I think, because I always wanted to do something different. I always wanted to get out. I always wanted to be my own boss, but I was never brave enough. I never had the courage enough. And what ended up in the moment felt like the worst day of my life when I lost this job. It was the first time I had ever been let go from any job ever. And in the moment, it felt like the worst day of my life. And it ended up being the greatest gift that was ever given to me. But if I had a chance to write a letter to myself, I would tell myself to be brave and make the jump sooner.
Gotcha. So where can people find you and where can people find your playbook?
Playbook is available. Any of the coaching and any of the resources that I offer at markscottcoaching.com. And that's M-A-R-C, markscottcoaching.com. And then I also do the Everyday Vopreneur podcast, which is just an extension of my coaching. I try to make every episode really practical, actionable, not just, fluff and whatever, but stuff you can actually use. And that's available at vopreneur.com or, of course, wherever fine podcasts like this one are given away for free.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to Mark talk about how he began in the voiceover business and how his strong discipline towards his own narratives on life have built him into the man he is today. If you'd like to know more about him, you can visit his website at www.markscottvoiceover.com. Or for his marketing resources, the playbook, and his coaching, you can find them all at www.markscottcoaching.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.